Hello, I'm Brian. Welcome to The Art of Listening. For the past few weeks, we practiced listening to first and third movements of concertos, symphonies, sonatas, quartets, and so on. In lengthy and multi-movement works, traditionally we will find that the last movement is in rondo form and sometimes in an extended version, comprising elements of both the sonata and the rondo forms combined. Knowing in advance what's likely to follow allows us to anticipate the music and follow it more easily. So, today we are going to practice listening to rondo and rondo sonata forms. I'm going to open with two pieces for piano which are standalone, meaning that they're not movements from a longer work, in simple rondo form. Simple rondo form simply means that the principal theme reappears at least three times, with contrasting sections between the appearances. In a rondo, the theme keeps coming around. A basic A-B-A-C-A format, with A being the theme and B and C being the contrasting sections. First, we will listen to the well-known and much-loved Für Elise of Beethoven, which we did hear in an earlier program in the context of minor keys. Here is the main theme. Here is the first contrast. Notice that this is in a completely different key, F major, and a completely different rhythm and tempo. This is the second contrast. This starts in another different minor key, but it's as if Beethoven can't decide which minor key. It also features a drone bass and ends with a tiny cadenza. Now here is the whole piece with everything in the proper context. Thank you. Next, by Mendelssohn, is his Rondo Capriccioso, a capricious and changeable rondo. By the way, rondos are normally somewhat capricious and quick. Maybe that's why they make great endings for long works. This rondo starts with a slow introduction in E major before the actual rondo in E minor. We have encountered slow introductions several times already. The theme that keeps coming around is not the slow introduction, but the quick E minor part that follows. If this quick E minor part reminds you of the scherzo from the Midsummer Night's Dream, also by Mendelssohn, bear in mind that this very light and playful style is definitely one of Mendelssohn's musical fingerprints. Here is the first contrast, a completely different rhythm and key, G major, and a much more singable melody. Here's the second contrast. It's in E major, like the slow introduction was, but again, it's a complete change of idea to racing arpeggios and scales. I will come back to this piece in the near future because we need to talk about keys and tonality in much more depth. The contrasts of major and minor, the role of relative minors to their majors, and of tonic majors to their minors, all of which are featured in this piece, are critical things to our listening. Here's the whole piece in context. Try with each contrasting section to hear the switch from minor to major. This is a basic musical compositional technique. You should attempt to master it. In this piece, it is E major, slow introduction, then E minor, G major, E minor, E major, and E minor. All of the E minors are the rondo theme. Now we move to the extended rondo, the sonata rondo. Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21, the final cheerful movement. As a reminder, the features of sonata form are that it has two or more themes in an exposition, then a development where the motives of the two themes are explored in a variety of keys and guises, and then the recapitulation where the two themes are restated. So, we have heard the principal theme twice. We heard the principal theme once in the exposition and once in the recapitulation. The way that rondo is incorporated into the scheme is that the principal theme makes two more appearances. The first is after the second theme at the end of the exposition, before the development section, and the other is right at the very end of the movement. So we hear it four times. Therefore, the name rondo applies. Another feature of sonata form is that the entire exposition is traditionally repeated. In the rondo sonata form, this is not the case. We are already hearing the principal theme an additional time at the end of the exposition, and to repeat it another twice in a complete repeat of the exposition is overkill. You could think of this extra appearance of only the principal theme as replacing the complete repeat of the exposition. Here's a tiny piece of the two themes you should watch out for, followed by the whole movement. Focus on the very cheerful opening theme and watch for it to reappear at least four times. Here is the whole piece with everything in the proper context. Thank you. Here is another work by Mozart with the same structure. In this one, I would like you to see if you can identify the somewhat slower opening theme at least four times, and also the second theme, which is more lively than the first. It occurs 34 seconds into the piece, immediately after a fast scale passage going upwards. Here is a small section of each theme to prepare you for the whole piece which follows afterwards. Now here is the whole piece with everything in the proper context. Thank you. Last work for today is a very exciting one, a complete sonata in four movements for piano and violin by César Franck. I'm not going to go into any detail with this sonata at this time. Possibly we could do that in a later program. This sonata is remarkable because not only does the composer repeat themes within each movement, actually he has built all four movements on the same musical motives. The result is a work that is remarkably easy to listen to, because in a short time you find you're already into the spirit of what is coming. It very quickly seems familiar, as if you've always known this music. Pay special attention to the last movement, which includes a musical device called canon. The violin and the piano are playing identical themes throughout, but not together. They take turns to lead the way and then the other one follows behind. It's normally rather difficult to follow two melodies at the same time, but the composer has made it absolutely simple. Take note at the start of each movement of the opening theme and listen for its reoccurrence. And in the last movement that I just described, listen for the theme at least three times to identify the rondo character of the movement. I really enjoy the sonata. I'm sure you will also. Thank you. that the sonata lived up to your expectations and got you really involved in the music. And please join me again next week. Goodbye for now.